Hello there, my name is Pastor Ashish, and I want to welcome you to the Seven Hills Church podcast. We believe a new story is possible in Yonkers and beyond. Each week, we share messages that are honest, hope-filled, and rooted in the way of Jesus for our modern world. We hope this message encourages you. Let's get to it.
I'm going to be doing the scripture reading today from the NIV version. First is from John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The second scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, who are unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And the third scripture and the final scripture reading is from John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And what is to be breathed on them?" And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are we doing? As Diane said, I hemorrhage my vocal cords, so I sound like RFK Jr. right now, you know, just with what's left here. Now, it's so good to be here together, and I hope you've had a good end of the summer, and as we're transitioning into the fall, really excited about what God is going to be doing. I want to start with a story of when I was in my junior year of college. When I was in junior year of college, right after the fall semester and the winter semester, I watched this movie called The Finger of God, and it documented stories of what God was doing around the world, and it was just this deep supernatural work of healing, of people just encountering God in a very, very felt way. And I remember as a junior in college, just having this deep hunger for like, God, I want more of you. I want this deep, deep sense of what you have to offer. I don't want to just be on the shallow end of the pool. I want more of you. And so what I did was that I was working at the ID office on campus at the time. And, you know, I go in, I pray that morning. I'm expecting for God what you're going to do. And, you know, I just waited my shift as I'm making ID cards on campus, and nothing happens. And I'm still expecting. I'm like, you know, kind of purposefully loitering around the rotunda. And I'm like, Lord, what do you want to do? And then nothing happens. And but it was just that ache for the deeper life of what God wants to do. This morning, we're going to be kicking off a brand new series called The Deeper Life. And it's exactly for that kind of a hunger for God. I know you've done this in scripture. God, I know you do this on a periodic. You do this consistently. But God, I want more of you, more of the life that you have to offer. Holy Spirit, I want more of what you have to offer. You know, the reality is that I was not planning on preaching this series. I was actually going to do a 1 Peter series throughout this fall, and I was in 1 Peter in my own time with Jesus. I really met God, and I was like, man, this is a series we're going to do this fall. But as I was praying over the last couple of months, I just felt like there was this, like, interruption of, like, you've got to preach on the Holy Spirit. And I just felt like this kind of block in my own spirit of like, you can't preach on 1 Peter. You've got to go into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a new thing for me in the sense that I think I just sense God's Spirit. First of all, invite me to, you know, take our church in through the Deeper Life series. But second, it's also to, it's less of asking God for a map of where to go and to stay close to God as a guide for where he'll take us. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's the difference between a map and a guide. When you're with a guide, you don't need a map, and you're just simply following where the Lord is leading. And I feel like week to week, this is what God's going to be doing. So over these next couple of, I think we're till end of November or so. And so we've got some incredibly powerful teaching over these next 3 months. There's going to be even opportunities for physical healing. We'll talk about healing and suffering and inner healing and fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. There's so much that God's going to do. So my one invitation to you is to be expectant for what God is going to do. Come with an expectation, without an agenda, for what the Lord might do over these next several weeks. And so today I want to talk about the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit is where we're going to kick off our series. Let me start with this. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? When most people think about the Holy Spirit, they carry certain assumptions of what or who the Holy Spirit is. Sometimes some of us might think that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force. It's perhaps your intuition. And some of you might say, it's my gut sense of what, you know, what I think, you know, maybe that's God speaking to me. It's my gut sense. So that's perhaps one perception that you have of the Spirit. Another one might be an it. It might be this impersonal force, you know, this vague energy that's kind of floating around in the ether. It's all around us, you know, but that's perhaps a perception of what a Holy Spirit could be. It could be an impersonal force, an it. It could be intuition. Or for others of us, if you've grown up in the church, you've sometimes heard about the Holy Spirit as reserved for, this is top shelf stuff for super Christians, you know? Like we haven't downloaded that level yet or something. And so there's a sense of like, man, these super Christians, you know, they're speaking in these languages, and there's this very strong, you know, kind of dramatic move of the Spirit that I feel like I can't connect with. And so perhaps it feels like this top shelf stuff. But what I want to do this morning is really look at Scripture for who the Holy Spirit is. What does Scripture say about who the Spirit is? Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is not your intuition. It's not an it. It's not an impersonal force floating around in the ether. And it's also not for the especially disciplined or the especially holy or any of that kind of, it's not reserved for some over others, but the Holy Spirit is God himself. It's our scriptural kind of understanding of who God is God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see this all the way from the first pages of the book of Genesis when God says, let us make man in our own image. There's a plurality within a singularity all throughout. We see who God is. And so the best way to describe this is that this is something called progressive revelation. That means that as you keep turning the pages of Scripture, you start to see God more and more and more clearly. And what we see is that God, throughout the Old Testament, leading into the New Testament, we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit revealing himself all throughout Scripture. You know, even the Hebrew word for, you know, one of the powerful confessions in the Old Testament is, you know, Hero Israel, Lord, our God, one. And that word one is the Hebrew. Echad is the word. And can you say that? Echad. And then now apologize to the person in front of you for spitting out the back of their heads, you know. Echad means, it's a word that means a singularity that contains a plurality. It's one within many. And it's in that same way that we see the Holy Spirit, that again, it's in seed format in the Old Testament, and we see the Spirit of God move in the Old Testament. And all the way till Acts 2, when he pours out his Spirit, we get the fullness of the Spirit at Pentecost and all the way to Revelation. And so if you've given your life to Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit as you've said yes to Jesus. It's not reserved for, you know, there's no junior Holy Spirit that someone gets and a senior Holy Spirit someone gets. You get filled with the Holy Spirit once you've said yes to Jesus. And so what does it mean for us to be led by the Spirit? And here are the three things I want to teach out of this morning. The Spirit leads us to Jesus, to be more like Jesus, and to bring more to Jesus. The Spirit leads us to Jesus, to be more like Jesus, and to bring more to Jesus. Now, this is particularly helpful, and I've just kind of spent a lot of time trying to distill it down to this, because when you're trying to figure out, Holy Spirit, is that you speaking to me? This is an amazing grid against which to make that decision of like, God, are you, Jesus, is this voice like leading me to you? Is it leading me to become more like you? Is it inviting me to bring more to you? And so this is, again, a great grid as you discern, Lord, is this the Holy Spirit? Oftentimes we can have Our own flesh gets involved in this, and there are desires of our own heart that get mixed up, and we're like, is that me? Is that you? How do we make sense of that? And I want to offer this as a helpful piece in terms of how to make sense of who the Spirit is. So the first thing is I want to unpack is the Spirit leads us to Jesus. No one drifts to Jesus on their own. It is a work of the Spirit for him to invite us to see Jesus more clearly, for us to get awakened to the reality of who Jesus is, for our eyes to be open to who Jesus is. This is God's presence. You know, we talk about this word Emmanuel, God with us, and we see this in the ministry of the Spirit all throughout the Old and New Testament. God's desire has always been to dwell with his people. So in Genesis 1, you see the Spirit hovering over the waters, bring order out of out of chaos. In Exodus, God's presence fills the tabernacle, which is like a portable church, if you will, portable sense of God's presence, portable tent. In the wilderness, fire and cloud, they mark his nearness. In 1 Kings 8, when Solomon dedicates the temple, the glory of the Lord fills it so that even the priests couldn't stand to minister because of how thick and how powerful and overwhelming God's presence was. And so there's this barrier that we see, that sin is a barrier. Sin is the brokenness of our world. It's our own wayward way of relating to God. It's our broken, corrupted way that we look at ourselves, that we relate to one another, and we relate to the wider world. And so this sin creates a barrier in terms of our relationship to God. And what we see is in Jesus, in John chapter 1, verses 14, it says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that word is the word for tabernacle. In other words, God moved into the neighborhood, as Eugene Peterson would say. Jesus was the presence of God among his people. And after his presence, he promises us that he's not going to leave us alone. He's going to give us his Holy Spirit. And he says, it's a good thing that I go because you get to experience the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit was poured out on the church. Tongues of fire rested on each believer, symbolizing that each Christian had now become the temple of God's Spirit. So one of the things that shifts is that we're no longer building-focused people in our faith. Our bodies, Scripture tells us, is the temple. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul tells us that, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Again, God's presence is no longer just when we come together. There's a particular way that God manifests his presence, and we experience the power of his presence together corporately. But our own bodies, who we are the temples ourselves. There are so many different temples, if you will, gathered right here, because our own bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I also want to take two more aspects here of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of resurrection. In Romans 8:11, it says this, and if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Think about that. The same Spirit that's dwelling in you, if you've given your life to Jesus and you've said yes, that same Spirit that's indwelling in you is the same Spirit that has raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Isn't that incredible? The same Spirit, the same team, if you will, behind the resurrection project of Jesus is the one that's activated in your life, is the Holy Spirit. He takes our hearts of stone and makes them hearts of flesh. Another word for this is that he regenerates us. He gives us brand new life. He gives us new life, a new birth, and a new hope in Christ. And finally, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit loves to do. Now, again, this is why I say, if you're thinking about like, Lord, is that you or is that me? This is a great gauge. It's like, God, who is being glorified? Is it me or is it you, Jesus? John 16:13-14, which Abe read, says this, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth and he will glorify me. The Spirit's main role is to glorify Christ. He doesn't point to himself. He points to Jesus. Now, have you guys ever been to a movie or a play or a theater? When you walk into a theater, a couple weeks ago, Diane and I got a chance to go to the world's oldest running show. It's called The Mousetrap by Agatha Christie, about 30,000 or so shows. And we got a chance to, check this out. And there's that moment when all the lights go off. When you watch a play, right? All the lights go off. There's excited chatter, and all of a sudden there's a silence there, and it's pitch dark, and you're not sure of what's happening. And then all of a sudden there's someone in the back who has a spotlight, exactly to who the person is that's going to begin speaking, and they're the one who orients you to what the show is and all of that. That work right there is what the Holy Spirit does with Jesus in this dark world, in this dark light, the darkness of life that we experience. The Holy Spirit will shine his light onto Jesus and glorify Jesus. So that means that when you are starting to see Jesus more clearly, that's the Spirit of God leading you to Jesus. When you're in worship and all of a sudden you experience the nearness of God's presence, that's the Holy Spirit leading you to Jesus. When scripture, all of a sudden, when you start to read scripture and it goes from, I don't know what I'm reading, to all of a sudden things are clicking and you're like, I'm seeing this in fresh eyes with a fresh sense of who God is. That is the Holy Spirit leading you to Jesus. The Spirit leads us to Jesus. Without him, none of us would know who Jesus is, but with him, we experience the nearness of Jesus' presence. Here's the second thing. The Spirit leads us to become more like Jesus. The Spirit doesn't just introduce us to Jesus and walks away. There's this ongoing work of the Spirit that transforms us into who Jesus is. And so, you know, it's kind of like this. Imagine if you buy a house. And if you buy a house and as soon as you buy the house, you buy the house that belongs to you, legally it belongs to you, but the next thing you do is what? You renovate the house, right? Or you change up the house, or you personalize it. You might bring sofas and change the paint colors, and all of that work happens after the purchasing of the house. And in that same way, once we've given our life to Jesus and now we belong to Jesus, the next work is the renovation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit walks in through every chamber, every room of our life, the upstairs, the downstairs, the basement, every room, and starts to renovate it so that we become more like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says, God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Salvation isn't just about escaping judgment or punching your ticket to heaven or something like that. It's about becoming like Jesus in our own character, in our own love, in our own instincts. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that, and we all who with unveiled faces, right, our faces are unveiled, we start to contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, right? First of all, you see that God the Spirit is affirmed here, right, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, but we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit into his image, into whose image? The image of Jesus, right? I think an illustration for this is, I think about Michelangelo. When Michelangelo, famous sculptor, painter, was creating the statue of David. Now, some of you might have seen the sculpture of Michelangelo. It's in Florence, I believe. And when someone asked Michelangelo about, you know, how did you even create the statue of David? It's this world-famous, towering figure of who David is. And this is what Michelangelo reportedly said. He said, I just removed everything that wasn't David. What a phrase, right? Like, Michelangelo, how did you build David? And he's like, I just removed everything that was not David. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our own life. He removes everything that isn't Jesus. It starts with this huge block of marble, and only like a master sculptor like Michelangelo and like ultimately God is, he looks at our own lives and he starts to chisel away and takes away everything that is not Jesus. He chisels away our pride. When he sees hatred or resentment hardening in our own heart, he says, that's not Jesus. I'm going to grow love in you. When he starts to see fear grip your heart, he says, that is not Jesus. I'm going to give you my peace. When he sees impatience boiling over, he says, that's not Jesus. I'm going to teach you my patience. When he sees selfishness dominate our choices, he says, that's not Jesus. I'm going to produce kindness and goodness in your own spirit. This is what the Spirit loves to do, is to make us more like Jesus. The Spirit keeps removing everything that isn't Jesus until what's left is the image of Jesus in our own life. And finally, here's a third thing I'd like to point to, is the Spirit leads us to bring more to Jesus. The Spirit's work isn't just an inward work, it's also an outward work. He doesn't just like to shape us into the image of Jesus and leave us there, but he wants to use all of who we are, our gifts, our abilities, so that other people may encounter who Jesus is. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells us that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit doesn't just guide us. The Holy Spirit doesn't just give us comfort, but he gives us courage. He He empowers us so that you and I, we can bring more to Jesus. Think about the disciples for a second. The disciples went after Jesus had been hung on the cross, were petrified. These are people who went back to their old jobs, like completely turned their back on Jesus. But when in Acts chapter 2, when they get filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden they become empowered to take the gospel to the entire world. They all of a sudden, you know, this word for witness is also the same word for martyr, by the way. And so they're all of a sudden are saying, like, I'm going to risk up my entire life so that I can risk my entire life so that I want to bear witness to who Jesus is. There's a supernatural courage and faith that God unlocks in us as we get empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are not bystanders in God's mission. We are sent by the Spirit. In John 20:21-22, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That means that God the Father has sent Jesus into the world. Now Jesus sends us into the world. And when Jesus sends us, he doesn't just send us, you know, without any power. He sends us with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not bystanders in God's mission. We are sent ones. We are witnesses to who Jesus is. I talked about my junior year of college. And junior year of college, I was at the ID office. I'm waiting. I'm like, God, I'm waiting for a moment for you to use me. I say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, I want more of you. I want the deeper life of what you have to offer. You know, I worked at the ID office. I was kind of just available. Again, you know, God, whatever you want to do, nothing happens. I go to the rotunda. I'm like, Lord, whatever you want to do, nothing happens. And I, you know, walk out. And I went to City College, and if you've ever been to City College campus, as soon as you're walking out of the main building, there's a bookstore to the left-hand side. And I walk to the bookstore, and there's this huge sign in front of me that says, you know, collegiate hoodie on sale for $19.95, you know? And it was exactly $19.95, by the way. It wasn't like plus tax, and it's $23 or something, right? And I had this $20 bill in my pocket, and I just sensed God's invitation to, like, buy this gray hoodie, you know, that's on sale in front of me. And I'm just wrestling with God. I'm like, God, I'm wearing a college gray hoodie on me right now. I have way too many hoodies. Like, I don't need to be buying this hoodie in front of me. And I just sense God's invitation. Just buy this gray hoodie. So take the $20 out, go to the bookstore, you know, pay it up. And, you know, I've got this in this plastic bag and I'm walking around. I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you want to do? I'm here for it. You know, I prayed, lead me, Holy Spirit. And you know, I'm expectant. So I walk around campus and nothing happens. And so I decide, you know, I was a commuter. And so I decided to get in my car and I'm like, man, like, God, I feel like you just wasted my time. And, you know, I get in the car, I throw the, you know, this bag with the hoodie in the back seat. And you know, driving around at this point, I'm starting to get back, starting to head back to go home. Put this car and drive, and I'm driving around, and I get to this light, and I'm just like, God, why did you waste my time? God, why did you waste my money? You know, that I don't need a hoodie anymore, and this doesn't make sense. And as I'm starting to wrestle with God, I'm like, God, why did you even? I hear this knocking on the window side of the car. Now I'm in Harlem. And so if someone's knocking on your door, right, and someone's like, you know, they start to peer over, you know, the best thing for you to do is what? Drive away, don't open the door, right? And so that's exactly what I do. So I'm on the car, and there's this, like, young woman who, you know, starts to look at me, and she's like, knocks on the door, she's saying something. This is January, by the way, so it's cold. I think it had just snowed or so, so it's very, very cold. And she says this, and I can't hear what she's saying, and I just do the New York thing. I, like, lower the window, like, a little bit, you know, just enough. I'm like, what did you say? Back when I had a voice. And then this woman's like, do you know where the train is? And I'm like, you know, 145th, just down the ABCD train, right down, you know. And she's like, okay, can you give me a ride? And what's the answer to that? The answer is, no, we don't give rides, right? And I was like, I'm so sorry, I can't give you a ride. And so I'm on the driver's side. This is on the passenger side. And she's like, you know, can you give me a ride? I say, no, I'm sorry, I can't give a ride. She's like, okay, and proceeds to open my car. and sit inside the driver's, the passenger side, and close the car. Now, quick time out. My dad still has his car. It's a 2005 Toyota Camry. It's got like 250,000 miles on it. Still going, right? Sounds like, it doesn't even sound like this. This is amazing. And I've tested it since. Once you put that car on drive, all those doors lock. Those doors do not open after that, right? And I am in shock because I've got my hand on my steering wheel. I'm looking at this woman sit into this passenger side, and now the light is green. The car is behind me honking, and I have to drive this woman through Harlem trying to figure out what God is trying to do. So I'm in this, and I'm just shocked. I have no words. And so I finally look at her, and I'm like, what's your name? And, you know, she's saying very, very little. And I look at her, and I notice that she's actually starts to sink into the seat. You know, she's very obviously under the substance of something. And so she's, you know, and as I'm starting to ask questions, like, where do you need to go? And things like that, she's not, there's like very little energy. There's nothing for her to say or do. And then with my hand on the steering wheel, I keep driving around, and I'm like, God, what am I supposed to do? I've got nothing here. And I look at her, and I notice that she's very, very cold. You know, she's shivering. Even with the heat of the car, she's still shivering. And I look back, and I'm like, God, I think this is for her. And so I just asked her, I was like, hey, would you like a hoodie? And she says, you know, very weakly, she says, yes. And I give her this hoodie, turn around the corner, drop her right, there's a Dunkin' Donuts there, if you know that corner, 145th, and I drop her there. And do you know what happened to that woman? I have no idea. But you know, that's the point. The point is that when we pray our prayer and say, lead me, Holy Spirit, we are giving all of who we are, our car, our money, our resources, not ours. It's all God's. And we say, God, whatever it is that you want to do, you get to do in and through my life. And we don't get the satisfaction of the ending because that's a story that God is writing for someone else. I don't know what happened to that woman. I don't know what she was escaping. But think about how much God loves her that he would take a yielded yes, a yielded wallet, a yielded car, and all of that and use it for his glory. And I think, church, that's the point of giving ourselves to Jesus, is to say, God, lead me. Use all of what I have for your glory. And God gets to use it however he gets to use it for his own glory. And so I want to encourage you this morning to pray that dangerous prayer of lead me, Holy Spirit. When we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us, we're letting go of our own plan, our own will, our own agenda. You know, I've shared the story so many times of even how we planted this church. And this church was not our dream or what we wanted to do. As a matter of fact, I wanted to do a PhD in Old Testament. And it was out of a 30-day fast. Praying of saying, God, whatever it is that you want to do, lead us, Lord. God, let us to even plant Seven Hills. So I just want to invite you to pray that prayer. Lead me, Holy Spirit. What could God do with that prayer and that yielding in your life? Think about that for a second. I'm just praying, Lord, lead me, Holy Spirit. Use all of who I am. Use my wallet, it's not mine. Use my time, it's not mine. Use my resources, it's not mine. All of this belongs to you, God. And my stuff in your hands is way better than my stuff in my hands. And so God, use whatever that I have. It's not mine, it's yours. And to simply invite the Holy Spirit. So right now, I just wanna invite you right now. You can close your eyes if you'd like to keep your eyes open, you're welcome to, but just to simply pray that prayer of lead me, Holy Spirit. Lead me, Holy Spirit. For some of you this morning, you've said, Jesus, you get to sit in the driver's seat, but you've got the keys and you've never given it to him. And this morning, I want to invite you to give the keys of your life to Jesus and to say, Jesus, not only do you get to sit in the driver's seat, but you get to drive my life, and I want to let you take me and guide me and lead me. Some of you this morning are at the end of your strength. As a matter of fact, this week, there have been moments of being overwhelmed. And just want to invite you, out of the kindness of Jesus' heart, that you've tried doing it your way and to give it to Jesus this morning. And just invite, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. And we ask you right now, Lord, lead us.
Thanks for listening today. If this message has blessed you, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? It helps more people discover the hope of Jesus. You can check us out online at sevenhills.church. Our website is sevenhills.church. We're so grateful that you're a part of the story that God is writing. God bless and see you next week.